Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thanks for joining me on the Go and Teach radio program. My name is Ryan Goodwin. I preach for the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. Our first text is going to be in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. That's in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." Today's radio program is for the men out there. Not that there won't also be some great applications for women of faith as well, but I want to focus mostly on lessons for men today, because there's a need in our world for men who are willing to stand up for what's right, men who are willing to be leaders in the face of great obstacles. Unfortunately, our society doesn't really look upon valiant men the way that it used to. We don't appreciate heroes anymore, but instead we praise pacifists. We don't honor strong men in the home, but we laud husbands who allow their families to run the show without any argument. In the corporate world, the man who often gets ahead is the one who's sniveling and corrupt and greedy. But we need mighty men. We need men of valor. In every application as well, in the home, men need to lead with gentleness and love, but be willing to put their foot down with discipline, financial soundness, in the spiritual direction of the family. That's Ephesians 6 and verse 4. In the workplace, we need men who will live by example and work with honesty, who will put Jesus Christ first in all things. In government, we need men who will make sound decisions based on what's right. Rather than corruption, we need principles predicated on courage and morality. In the church, we need men who will do what is necessary for the growth and edification of the body. For the sake of our children who are watching our every move, for the sake of new converts who are so young in their faith, for the sake of the elderly, for the sake of every other member of a congregation, the men of the church need to be examples of dignity, honor, and service. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Now, I'll repeat myself. We need women of faith just as much in all of these contexts as we need men of faith. But often there's great value in narrowing our conversation to focus on one group and what that one group should be doing. Now, we're all under attack by Satan. We're all under attack by the forces of darkness and by the forces of the world around us. We're all tempted to sin. We've all seen the disintegration of the family as God has designed it, of marriage as God has designed it, of morality and ethics as God would have us understand them. We've seen those things fall apart all around us. And I certainly hope that you can see one of the big reasons for the failure of those institutions in the minds of the people around us is because men have failed. Men have not stepped up where men need to step up. And we need strong men, just like King David did back in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, where it says in verses 10 and 14, "These are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave him strong support in his kingdom. They took their stand in the midst of the plot and defended it." Now, we don't have time to look at that story in detail, but we'll say this, that when the time came to defend David and what was right, these mighty men jumped in with all their hearts. Notice that they gave their king strong support. They didn't waffle or waver as many men do in the heat of decision time, but they gave their devotion to David without reservation. In World Magazine from a few years ago, one writer had this to say, "In ancient times, Homer, Virgil, And even the inspired chronicles of Israel celebrated the deeds of mighty men of valor, who possessed the stamina to fight from sunup to sundown to slay their 10,000s. And now today, we need big men in our world. Not men who are big based on physical size or strength or speed. Our world suffers from a lack of men who are big in faith, big in principle, big in love, and big in compassion. Rather than being stifled or puny, the ideal man is one who takes action, even if he gets no credit for it. So what I want to do with this program today is examine some of the key concepts related to being a mighty man. Too many of us, unfortunately, are more aptly described as men of might, as in, I might change for the better. I might stand up for what's right. I might go to church today. For a lot of men, it's tempting to fall into habits and become blind to the spiritual chaos that surrounds them. This is often manifested in households that are in complete disarray. After a hard day of work, the husband wants nothing more than to sit in his chair and ignore the world around him. So many children grow up never knowing their fathers, because so many men prefer indifferent distance to hands-on participation in the family. Men hide in the garage, and they hide in television. They run from their families to bars. They use sports as an escape. They run to adultery because it often has no strings attached to it. In a very true sense, a lot of men have ignored the problems around them in favor of snoozing their lives away. Instead of buckling down and changing the world, they just close their eyes and they leave it alone. There are some very common phrases associated with what I like to call the spiritual snooze buttons. Now, you know what it's like. When you don't want to get up in the morning and you hit the snooze button on your alarm clock, you give yourself 10 more minutes of sleep. But what ends up happening is you hit the snooze button again and get 10 more minutes, and then you hit it again, and before you know it, you're a half hour late for work. We do the same thing with our lives. We hit the spiritual snooze buttons, the family snooze buttons, the moral snooze buttons to try and push today's problems to tomorrow so we don't have to think about them or worry about them. Here are some phrases that if you say things like this, you're basically just pressing the spiritual snooze button. I just don't want to talk about it anymore. Or, I'm just tired from work. Can't this wait until tomorrow? Or, why do you have to make a mountain out of a molehill all the time? Or, I'm fine. Why aren't you? Or the ever popular, just leave me alone for a little while. When we're not focused on godly things or accomplishing meaningful growth, we are what the Bible calls drifting away, Hebrews 2 verse 1. How do you like the sound of that? Would any of us want our lives to be described as a drift? In 2 Timothy 2 verse 26 it says, "And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." When we allow ourselves to just wander through life or respond passively to situations, we're letting Satan have his way with us. Satan is running the show. And that's the kind of target that Satan loves most. The one who's not going to respond. The one who doesn't care. The one who just wants to hide. Acts 26 verse 18 says, "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God." Christian men need to be admonished to keep their eyes open, that they may turn from darkness toward the light, that they wake up from the spiritual daze that grips them. Romans 13 verse 11 says, "Awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed." And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, "So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." Stop hitting the spiritual snooze button, my friend. Stop being an inactive man and start participating in life, being proactive and noticing the problems that surround you. Here are some wake-up calls that if you look at your life, if you look at your family, if you look at your marriage, if you look at your relationship to other Christians and the church, here are some wake-up calls around you that you need to recognize. When your children are out of control, when your wife has no respect for you, when your wife and kids are distant and seem to have their own separate life from you, When you don't have a close relationship with any other Christians, when your understanding of the Bible is shallow and you always get things muddled and you can never properly quote something, when you start making excuses about poor attendance to church, when you're constantly depressed, that may mean something in your life needs changing. When you don't have a clue what's going on around you, when you don't pray anymore, when you don't try to convert people anymore, when you have sinful habits that you just ignore, when you're trying to find happiness apart from God, and you're failing miserably at it. Maybe all of this is why Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, because he could look back on his life and realize it was vanity of vanities. All of life is vanity. Solomon was a man who had everything that a man could ever dream of, everything that a man could ever want. And marriage, well, marriage was a joke to him. Raising children, who knows how many kids he actually had, but it doesn't seem like very many of them, if any of them at all, were spiritually strong. So Solomon, at the end of all of that, could say with a great deal of confidence, at the end of it, when all of life has been said and done, there's really only one truly important thing. There's really only one thing that matters most of all, and that is to serve God, to obey Him, to put Him first. You need to have the vision. Vision to see into the future. Vision to see what's going to happen around the next corner. Vision to know that when you go down a certain road in life, when you make certain choices or ignore certain things, that there will be a natural and inevitable consequence to it. So strong, mighty men must have vision. They look to the future. They anticipate needs. They plan for pitfalls. They chart a course that will lead the church, that will lead their families and their souls to glory. Having vision means looking ahead instead of always looking back at the past. That's what Paul did when he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have to admit that problems in life will occur. Marriages occasionally hit bumps, children get into trouble, jobs can be lost, church members will lose faith at times. But the truly wise man does not spend his time worrying about all of the mistakes he's made or the people who have sinned against him. Rather, he devotes his time to spiritual growth to ensure that the mistakes don't happen again and that he can teach others and lead others out of the mistakes that they make. Not only that, but he keeps his focus on a goal, whether physical or spiritual. Here's a few applications for you to think about. A man with vision will see problems in his marriage early on before they eat away at him or his spouse. A man with vision will ask, what is my marriage going to be like in 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years if things continue the way that they are? I fear that a lot of men go through marriage hoping that they'll just get through today. Just give me the strength to get through today, today's problems. And I understand that Jesus told us not to worry about the future, that we have enough problems today and tomorrow will take care of itself. But I don't believe that anything Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 prevents men from having the vision to set themselves up for future success, to look at today and do what needs to be done today to make sure that tomorrow doesn't have those problems. Think about your marriage. And if there are things that are eating away at you, if there are things in your marriage that you and your spouse just don't talk about, and there's awkwardness around that, how long do you think you can put up with that? How long do you think it's going to be before that little problem today becomes a big problem in the future? How long can you two just go on ignoring the things that need to be said and the things that need to be brought out to the light? What about bad habits or bad attitudes? What about in your children? Because a visionary man plans ahead on how he will deal with discipline problems before his children get into trouble. Knowing what you'll do in each situation will help make your discipline more consistent and more meaningful. Don't wait until your child is a 16-year-old caught with alcohol to decide what you're going to do with a 16-year-old caught with alcohol. Don't wait until the first time that you catch your kid with pornography to decide what you would do with a child caught with pornography. We need to plan ahead on how we'll deal with that, how we'll discipline our children. Consider, for example, the writer of the book of Proverbs, who writes the book, according to chapter 1, to his son. And he deals with some very tough subjects far in advance. He does deal with the problems of illicit sex. He does deal with the problems of materialism, or a lack of faithfulness, or a lack of hard work and drive and vision. My friends, visionaries try to picture themselves as deacons and elders in the church, even if they're not qualified at the time. What do you need to do as a man now to make yourself more qualified in the future? That's a great question that a lot of men don't ask themselves. Men need to deal with conflicts before they're allowed to stew and fester. Like Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." You deal with conflicts now. Don't wait until tomorrow to make the apology that needs to be made today. Here's a real practical one to think about, and I don't mean this in any way to be insulting or humorous. But what kind of a husband am I going to be when my wife hits menopause? How can I prepare myself for that now, so that when it happens, I'll be remembered by her for love and patience and unwavering devotion, not insensitivity or ignorance? How can I manage my career goals so that I'm available as a loving and sensitive father while my children struggle through their teenage years? My friends, a man with vision thinks about all of these things and more. He thinks about what the church will be like years down the road. And he thinks about things that he can do to ensure a safe, sound, strong future for the local congregation that he's going to be a part of. With the last part of our radio program, I just want to consider what are some of the qualities of a mighty man. The truly mighty man, after all, lives by some very high standards. The real question that each of us needs to ask is how great of a man that we actually want to be. If you want to settle for mediocrity, well, then you'll have to answer to God for not living up to the potential that He expects of all of us. So here are some pillars of manhood. First of all, the man is the head in the marriage. Men are given the command from God to rule and lead his family in Genesis 18, verse 19, and to be the head of the wife in Ephesians 5 and verse 23. They're to be elders in the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3. Men are called to be deacons and preachers as well. None of this, of course, gives men permission to be dictators to the people around them. And it also doesn't mean that men are more important than women or more important than the children that they rule over in their families. But it does mean that men have a specific call to leadership. That's the role that we play. Again, it's not any more important or less important than what anybody else does. But when you're a husband or you're a father or you're an elder, you are a leader and you are called to lead. Be the leader that you're supposed to be. Be the head. Make good decisions. And when you're wrong, accept that, apologize for it, learn from it, and be a better leader tomorrow. Have the humility of Jesus, who was willing to wash his disciples' feet and die on the cross as a common criminal, all while maintaining his headship and his authority. With that being said, a man is also under orders. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in the first few verses there, the man might be the head of his wife, but Jesus is the head of every man, just as the Father is the head of Jesus. So we are under orders ourselves. It's a very neat concept to realize that men are under orders. We're like warriors or soldiers. We have some very grave responsibilities which ought not to be taken lightly. We have orders from God to lead our families and to shepherd the church and to teach our children to be breadwinners. Like a soldier with a mission, we need to see that the spiritual welfare of many people depends on our ability to carry out orders with haste and bravery. Going along with that, we are warriors. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." When you look at Titus 1 verse 9, 2 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 9, 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, all of these verses give us the indication that we're warriors. In one book called The Tender Warrior, though, this is what the writer has to say. A warrior is a protector. Whether he's stepping on intruding bugs or checking out the sounds that go bump in the night, whether he's confronting a habitually abusive little league coach or shining a flashlight into a spooky basement, whether he's shoveling snow or helping women and children into the last lifeboat on the Titanic, men stand tallest when they are protecting and defending. A warrior is one who possesses high moral standards and holds to high principles. He's willing to live by them, stand for them, spend himself for them, and if necessary, to die for them. We're not just warriors, though. We're also friends. Men need to learn how to be devoted friends and to be sensitive to the needs of other people. I know that Romans chapter 12 is written to Christians in general, but I like what's written in verses 9 through 16, and men need to take this to heart. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. But a true friend will also have the courage to rebuke when necessary. He'll say what needs to be said, even if it's not comfortable or convenient. Just like it says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Last and certainly not least, men need to have staying power. Many men in our culture lack such staying power. I'm sorry for making a generalization here, but many men don't stick with things the way that women often do. I can speak from my own personal experience when I say that my wife is a woman of incredible perseverance. She will stick with something until she finds out the truth about it, until she finds the best way to do it, until she has finished a project all the way through, even when there are doubters who tell her that it won't work out. Men, however, we have a tendency to start and stop things. We begin a project and then put it aside for a while. We see a piece of junk on the side of the road, or we love to go and tinker with things in our garage. We always have big plans. Someday I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday, someday, someday. And someday never happens. Well, that lack of staying power affects us in our marriages, in our families. It affects us in our jobs as well. It affects us in our Christianity. If you go to almost any church in America, on any given Sunday, what do you see? It is overwhelmingly women there in attendance. The typical United States congregation draws an adult crowd that's 61% female and only 39% male. On any given Sunday, there are 13 million more adult women than men in America's churches. On any given Sunday, almost 25% of married church-going women will worship without their husbands. Over 70% of the boys who are being raised in church will abandon it during their teens and their 20s, and many of them will never return. And this isn't just in the United States. Churches overseas also report gender gaps of up to 9 women for every adult man in attendance. My fellow men, we have a problem, and that problem is a lack of staying power. But real men stay. When marriage isn't fun, they stay in it. When parenting is difficult, they stay at it. When work is crushing them, they don't let it beat them. When church is overwhelmed by pettiness, they stay by it. When your children let you down, you pick them up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love, and it says that love is both patient and it endures all things. Time to show that love, my fellow men. Become the mighty men that God knows you can be.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.